Say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you glad to be in church? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a time here over the weekend, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Brother Matthew Watkins just talked from the very soul of just the innermost part of his being to us, don't you? And we certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. It's so good to be in church tonight. Good to see you here. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God tonight? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Brothers, good to see all of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Play a little bit of that, Brother Harry. You guys help me play that tonight. Just stand with me for a few minutes. We'll look at our prayer request tonight. While I don't have anything written down on this, but we certainly want to pray for Sister Joy Gail Green tonight. And many of you probably know and have read in the paper, her son Derek passed away, I guess night before last maybe, if I'm right in that, in his sleep. The family's just very, very tore up, as I have been informed. And so we want to pray for that family. Derek used to come here to this assembly as a young man several years ago. So we want to pray for that family that the Lord would just, I think he had four children. The youngest being a little one-month-old girl. So we want to just pray for that family that the Lord would just be with them during this time, that God would comfort their hearts. I think the service will be tomorrow night at Dillo Taylor Funeral Home in Jonesboro at 8 o'clock. I think the viewing is from 6 till 8, and then the service will be at 8 o'clock. Brother Wes Willis and Brother John Horniak is going to be taking care of that service. So let's just pray for them, pray for that family as they go through this time of their life. I want to pray for a Mrs. Newman, a lady that my husband does landscaping for. She has many health problems, suffering from a severe eye illness. Sherrod Hamilton sends that in, so we'll just commit that deed unto the Lord tonight. Brother Gene Ayers is doing so much better and has been able to walk quite a few distance since I believe he had a stroke. Brother Gary Ayers and his mother would like to thank everyone for their prayers, most of all for Jesus Christ our Lord for touching Brother Gary's brother. So we just praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for a very urgent unspoken prayer request. Sister Teresa White sends that in. Also, Brother Lanyard Gantz has a very urgent unspoken prayer request he'd like for the church to pray about. Sister Lillian is suffering from a touch of bronchitis, still coughing very badly. Pray that the Lord will give her a healing touch. I want to remember her tonight as we pray. And Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends this in to please pray for Max's sister, Fran. She had a pacemaker put in today. Pray that it will correct her problem. She is looking at maybe having to go on a defibrillator. So let's pray that also pray for her salvation, that the Lord would just be mindful of her needs tonight. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends this in. We would like to ask your continued prayers for Brother Lonnie Jenkins. Brother Jeff mentioned on Sunday that Brother Lonnie is scheduled for surgery next Tuesday, November the 13th. Brother Jeff took him to Columbus today for a pre-surgery consultation and preparation. As the cancer is in the bladder and in the muscle wall, the plan is to remove the bladder and all the affected areas. Brother Lonnie has opted not to have chemotherapy or radiation. He is weak, has very little appetite, and is in a lot of pain. Please continue to earnestly pray for our precious brother. So we certainly want to remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Now, before we pray tonight, there's a couple of things I want to tell you that I made two errors among my many. And I think Sunday morning I stated that Sister Lori was here in the altar rededicating her life to the Lord. And I said, that's Brother Jerry and Sister Linda's daughter. Actually, it's their niece. It's Brother Pinky and Sister Phyllis's daughter. And just a little bit more on that story, just hearing what they said is just an absolute miracle from the Lord that she even got here. And then the fact that she was in the altar crying out for mercy. Well, we just praise the Lord for that. We certainly do. Then a few weeks back, you know the story of the little boy that was killed up at McDonald's in Elizabethan. Well, I had information that I had was that the man that had run over him had taken his life. That was false information. I have heard many rumors about that man since I told you that, but as far as I know, it's just rumors. The man did not take his life. I came here with the good intentions to ask you to pray for his family, and so let's still pray for him and his family. And I want to apologize for giving you bad information. If I stand here much longer, I'll make a whole lot more mistakes. So you pray for me. I'll love you and you love me back, will you? And amen. Don't you laugh. You know, in all actuality, I got to give you something to laugh at. You got to have something to laugh at, so I might as well be me. So you bear with me. I do want to just really apologize because it had been brought to my attention by several folks here in the church that I had given some false information, and I just wanted to make that right with you because I guess it teaches me a lesson to really know what I'm saying before I've got to the point, Brother Terry, my shoe leather tastes so good. It tastes so good. I really have got to develop a taste for it. What are you laughing about? Let's say something to get us out of this mess before we pray tonight. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I know you put up with me, but But I know He loves me. I know He loves me. Don't you? Are you glad you know He loves you? Give Him another big hand clap of praise tonight.
My life was full of sin when Jesus found me.
Oh, yes, it was.
My heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus wrapped His loving arms around me.
Hallelujah.
And He led me in the way I ought to go.
Oh, now let's sing with all of our heart, church.
Yes, no one ever cared for me like
as He leads us to the Lord. You invite His presence into this service tonight. We'll commit these prayer requests unto our Lord. Love you, buddy.
If you will, bow your heads with me. Our precious Heavenly Father, how great Thou art. And Lord, I know that each one of us can say tonight that no one ever cared for me like You do. And we thank You for that, Lord, because You have brought us to the truth and are daily showing us things that we've never known or seen before. And we thank You, Lord. We praise Your name, Father, because we believe the wheel is turning perfect. We believe things are just like they should be. And Lord, tonight I hold in my hand these requests. And Lord, they are in desperation. Our brother Lonnie Jenkins, I've sat right there in the congregation and heard him teach us, Lord. And pray, Lord, that You'd reach down Your hand to him tonight and that Your will be done. Lord Jesus, that if it pleases You to raise him up and make a testimony, that You'll do just that. Oh, Father, we thank You. And we believe, Lord, that all of these requests are in Your hand. Lord, we were so thankful to hear that the man did not actually take his life, Lord. How great Thou art. Pray that You'd be with him and his family and strengthen him, Lord Jesus, as he lives with something that he's completely innocent of. Pray, Lord, that You'll give him grace. And Lord, these requests, Sister Whitehead, Lord. Lord Jesus, how she had a request. Pray that You'll move. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that You'd have Your own way and will in this service. Open our hearts to receive the Word. For You have placed the Word in the man of God's heart, Lord. And he'll step aside because You gave him the gift. And he'll bring us the Word. It'll be You speaking through him, Lord. May we push our flesh aside and let the Holy Ghost within us drink and take of that which He has for us. Have Thine own way, Lord, we pray. Amen.
God bless you, buddy. Thank you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. As this service, we trust, will be a blessing to them. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe with all of my heart we feel His presence here over the weekend. I feel His presence here again tonight because licks of fire are gathered together. And I believe we're going to have a wonderful service here in this assembly tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? How many of you come expecting something from the Lord tonight? A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
this heart of mine gave me life again.
Oh, yes, it is.
I am just a house of clay.
Yes, we are.
Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Jesus touched this heart of mine and gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Yes, we are.
Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Yes. Give me the keys after I key. Yeah. Our hope is in the Lord. This time on and evermore. Oh, our hope is in the Lord.
Standing all within the presence of the Lord.
Oh, yes, we do.
In whom the wisdom of the ages lies. For whom the raging of the sea subsides.
Glory.
The living sacrifice, my only source of life.
This time I'm on, evermore. My hope is in the Lord.
every rising sun.
Glory!
To meet the sinner in his brokenness. He offers healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in
him. Yes, Lord.
We'll find their hearts
sing it now. Our hope. Oh, sing it to him.
Is in the Lord.
Yes, it is. Evermore. Oh, our hope is in the Lord. Oh, yes. Our hope is in.
This time on,
glory,
and evermore, oh, my hope,
yes, our hope
is in the Lord,
it's in the Lord,
forevermore,
forevermore, and evermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Sister Linichek, I believe Brother John said she had a song for us tonight. If they'll come, remember how they have that together tonight, if you come at this time. Then Brother Harry is going to give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. Brother Donnie is going to be bringing us the word of the Lord tonight. And I know you're excited to hear the word of the Lord. It's always good, isn't it? It's always good. Somebody say it's always good. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Grace so amazing is with me each day. For this great love I can never repay. Grace all sufficient, though sinful I've been. God loved me so much. In spite of my sin, grace so amazing, grace undeserved. I'll ever praise Him and joyfully serve. Grace so amazing and love so
try a new one. Everybody probably heard the song. I wasn't here last Wednesday night, and coming driving home, I was listening to the service on my phone, and it's an awesome service. I'm looking for the day when we get to be there. I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, I kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, the road has not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I have stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. Whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. But He kept me through His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll get the chance to thank Him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, and we will join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face. When the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, oh, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, oh, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
The Lord. What a wonderful time that will be.
Amen.
Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20 tonight, if you would. Revelation chapter 20. Begin reading verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful tonight that you have made a way that we do not have to stand at this great setting. For if we have accepted you and you have accepted us, and we have passed from death unto life, we cannot come into the judgment. For our judgment was laid upon you. And then when the final stage of the new birth was completed in our soul, your judgment broke loose on our soul. And our nature was annihilated. As the fire of God broke upon our soul, so will the fire of God break upon the earth and annihilate sin. That's the last time that element of God's wrath will break over us again. I pray that you'd take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to us. If there's a one here tonight that's not prepared, one that'll hear this service, one that'll stream it, may you speak to them, Lord. May this scriptures and these quotes change their direction, I pray. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together again tonight in the presence of God.
Amen.
To be able to love Him and live for Him and serve Him. And I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the white throne. The supreme tribunal. The throne that will not have one speck of mercy. No grace. No pardon. No forgiveness. How fitting is the judge who sits upon this throne. Once walked among us, lived as a man, tempted as a man, tried as a man, overcome as a man, full of the Holy Ghost. Now the setting has changed. It is no longer a throne of grace. No longer a lamb upon that throne, but a judge. How moving it must have been for John as he, by vision, catches a glimpse into the heavens. What a wonderful thing when he saw all the magnificence of the city of God. What a fearful thing it must have been when now he moves from the heavens and he moves down upon the earth. And the vision breaks around him. And he sees this great white throne judgment set upon the earth. Verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Brother Branham says it this way. The judgment was set and the books were open. Books, plural, was opened and every man was judged out of the books. The things that were written therein. Look, the books were open. He saw him coming. 10,000 times 10,000 ministered to him. Saints come with him. Is that right? In Daniel. And the books were open. That's the book of your life. And every man was judged thus. The sinner. Now notice, the sinner judged thus. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And every man was judged thus. Now notice, then written in the books contains your actions, your works, basically your destiny. In there will be no grace. In there will be no blood that'll come over those works to hide them from the justice of God. Amen. There will be no bleeding sacrifice, no atonement to take that book, dip his finger over in his side, and write on there pardoned and throw it in the sea. Because that part of his administration is finished. So when John sees this happen, he sees the saints that have been raised in the first resurrection, and they are in the throne with him, with Christ. He sees standing before the throne sinners, and also people that are classified as sheep. Now they're not sheep, but they are as sheep. They will be judged according to the deeds done in the body, according to their works, of course. The sinners will be judged not having had any experience with God, or they came to God and turned away from God. The sheep will be there in the judgment as sheep. They're going to be judged according to how they treated the people of God. Now you imagine what will happen when they walk up before the tribunal of God, and there will stand a preacher that they made fun of. A woman with the wrong hair. A young person at school that they laughed at. And all of a sudden, they see him. Now because they are there without a glorified body, they are there in the body they sinned in. Their own body testifies of their judgment. Now, Jesus Christ will be the judge. He will have no look of pity in his eyes. His hands will not tremble as they did that day when they tacked him to the cross. These words will not come out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh God. The books are necessary to determine the punishment rendered to the lost. Actually, because they've turned him down, their judgment is already determined. That doesn't even need to be found in the books at all. But what's written in the books will determine the amount of years they spend in the lake of fire. God have mercy. No one can argue their case. No one can debate it. There'll be no one there to hear it. There'll be no appellate court. No lawyer to take your side. There'll be no judge above this one that can rule his decision is wrong. This is the final judge. The record of each human being that stands there will be irrefutable. There'll be nothing to be said to say the evidence is wrong. You've got me confused with someone else. I was not there. The evidence will be so plain. There'll be no way to argue out of it. And think, it were it not for God's grace, that same evidence existed against us one day. But by his blood, he made a way to get rid of all the evidence.
Now, the books were open, plural, the Bible, the Word of God, of course, the book of their life, and the book of life. The book of life will answer back for those who will raise still deceived. Going down in the channel of death, whatever dimension that these type of people go into, it does not change them to where that they go into that realm and realize, oh no, I'm deceived. Oh no, no, I'm not a church member. They went down deceived. They raised deceived. When they go before the throne of God, this will be some of their replies. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not he that knoweth, not he that readeth, not he that listeneth to, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now look how Jesus said that the judge himself, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now notice their claim. They are claiming him to be their Lord. Now according to the way many of these people were taught in the church they went, and many of them are preachers which have taught this and will stand there upon their own teaching of the way they taught other people. That he was their Lord by accepting him as their Savior. But we understand that's two complete different things. He can be your Savior and never be your Lord. But to the bride, he is both Lord and Savior. We want him to be the Lord of our life, do we not? We don't want him to just save us from sin, but we want him to control our lives and tell us what to do. Tell us not what to do. Tell us we can't go here. Don't do this. Don't. That's what we want. I say we because if you're saved, that's really what you want is the bride. But now there's multitudes of people who do not want that. They want him to save them from hell, but they will tell Jesus, you stay out of my life. If I want to have an abortion, you don't tell me nothing about it. If I'm a man and I want to marry a man, don't you tell me nothing about it, Jesus. Right. If I want to cut my hair, if I want to smoke, if I want to do this, that, you keep your old selfish ways to yourself. Don't tell me how to live my own life. But I don't want to go to hell. So here they will stand and they will recall what they thought and what they felt like because being deceived into this was their experience on the earth. Because they actually left this earth, wherever they went to, they left this earth believing he was their Lord. So when they raise, this will be their confession. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many, not one or two, many wonderful works. Amen. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. How can that be? They know him. They knew him to such a degree, they knew the formula to cast out devils. They knew the formula of how to do many works. They even knew the right name to use. They knew the right formula of faith in the Word. They knew that there was an element of power. They knew so much about how to produce different things. Maybe they discerned, they prophesied. They learned how to yield to the Spirit of God where they could prophesy, speak in tongues, cast out devils, do many mighty works. And Jesus' answer to them is, I never knew you. You and I never had a close relationship. Now in the Greek, actually this word, this new, is actually used also as a sexual idiom for sexual intercourse. I never knew you. You never walked with me in this way. Now, notice this. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is iniquity? Something that you know you should do, but you don't. Now notice, they tell him all of their great works, and he tells them of their works, really. You work iniquity. You heal the sick, you cast out devils, you listen to tapes, you went to church, you paid your tithes, you done this and that and the other, but there was things in your life that you knew wasn't right. And you heard it preached over and over again, and you went right ahead and done it anyhow, and those very things you thought was not important are the things that will blot your name out of the book of life. Now you imagine these people, actually before they ever get there, many of them will have already been able to accomplish something that Satan could not do. And that was, they will blot their name out of the book of life. And it won't be done in heaven. It will actually be done on the earth by the way they live and what they do. And God will have their name blotted out in heaven. Now the works will be there. The shouting, the signs, the miracles, the wonders. But when they get there, their name is not found in the book of life. So here they are. They say, well, I've done all this. I've done that. Jesus said, is their name there? No, Lord, their name cannot be found. I never knew you. Your name is not, it has to be. I was a church member. I was in the message for 40 years. I hunted with Brother Branham. I fished with Brother Branham. You are not found in the book. Lord Jesus. You see, friends, at this tribunal, no one, because of rank, race, creed, popularity, none of that will have any influence at all at this white throne judgment. Men and women, boys and girls will be judged according to the relevance and the relationship to light on the earth. Now, they will be judged in how much light they had and, in correlation to that, what they did with the exposure of light that they received. Now, God is just in His judgment. His judgment will not be impartial. He will not favor certain classes, certain categories, certain colors of skin. It will be based upon your relevance and your association to light. Now, what's this? In Matthew 11:21, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now watch how judgment comes in relevance to light. Here Jesus quotes two cities that he had visited. They had seen the power of God. The light of the gospel had shone upon them. And Jesus quotes two ancient cities which had been destroyed by the judgment of God. Now, he's going to compare those modern day cities which had seen his light to those cities in the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years prior to that, which had not walked in near as bright a light is what Jesus had. Now watch how he shows that it will be at the day of judgment. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Do you understand that there will be people who have sat in message churches who have heard the message preached over and over again? They have been exposed to truths week after week, month after month, year after year. They'd been exposed to so much light. Even for many of them, it was only psychological, it was only mental, but it was enough to bring them into judgment. There will be people that'll be Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, whatever more, that in the tribulation will disassociate themselves from the beast system and will not go on out of her into him. And they will actually stand there, and it will be more tolerable for a Baptist woman that never knew, never heard it preached Sunday after Sunday about wearing makeup than it will be women around this message who sneak around and wear it and think they can go in. It'll be more tolerable for a Baptist man sitting in a church that's never heard it preached many of the things that you do than it will for some of you men who play church, dip in pornography, do all kinds of things, do things that's not becoming to a son of God, and you hold up your nose at them Baptists. It'll be more tolerable for them than it will for you. Why? The judgment will be in relation to how you have dealt with light. Now friends, we thank God for this message. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the ministry that preaches the truth. But remember, truth has two great powers. Truth will bind you or set you free. Truth will illuminate you by its light, or your exposure to that light will condemn you at the day of judgment. It's a very serious thing. Now watch how that at the judgment that there will be tolerability for certain people that were no doubt looked down upon. And these people of Chorazin and of Bethsaida, no doubt, but these were Jews. These were Jews. These people of Tyre and Sidon were Gentiles. And no doubt these Jews, which were message people as we call them, my, they looked down on Tyre and Sidon. This was a byword in then these people's common terms. To say you were of Tyre and Sidon was a slam, and oh my, there's something low and beneath you. And you imagine how their face must have gotten red, and they got angry, Brother Jim, as they heard Jesus bring their Jewish towns beneath these Gentile places. But Jesus wasn't looking at race. He wasn't looking at color. He was looking at exposure to light.
Amen.
Now watch this in verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So you mean the exposure of light in Sodom would have allowed Sodom to remain from the days of Genesis up to the days of the Lord Jesus? Can't you see why the judgment of God hangs over our nation? Can't you see why she's beyond redemption? Our elections yesterday proved where she stands. I ain't just talking about our president neither. I'm talking about the states that voted to legalize smoking marijuana and voted to legalize same-sex marriage. That wasn't the president that done that. That wasn't Congress. That was the people. That's what they want. Can't you see why it's going, children? Oh, but thank God there's an escape for the people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad that the Democrats don't hold my destiny. I'm so glad that the Republicans don't hold my destiny. I'm so glad, hallelujah, that Election Day don't hold my destiny. But God's election is what holds my destiny. Not the election of people, not the election of this nation, but my Father's election is what I'm leaning upon tonight. Sodom? Tolerability allowed for Sodom? Think of how we think of Sodom and how we relate to Sodom. But when these cities stand before Jesus, this is the judge himself speaking, so this word cannot be debated. Jesus says to them, I will be more tolerable for that bunch of perverts then I will you. Because after all, remember, the only little bit of light they had was a backslidden person that pulled away from the message by the name of Lot, which wasn't much light at all, about a penny's worth. Come on. Them angels went down there, did not preach to the Sodomites. The only light they had was Lot. But now notice, remember the judgment. This judgment is correlation, relativity, and how you have related to light and its exposure. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now remember, these words are recorded in the scripture, and these words will meet these people again. So Jesus is giving us a view that at the white throne judgment, all people will not go into the lake of fire with the same punishment. It does not mean the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be allowed to go into heaven, but their punishment and their separation will not be as long as will these. It does not mean the Sodomites will walk down the streets of gold and they'll be granted life. It will be more tolerable. They will not be judged on the same measure of life. Do you understand, friends? That when we stand there that day, it's not how long our hair is, sisters, the length of our dress, brothers, how much we fast, how much we pray. It's what we've done with light. Remember, light is the entirety of God's expression. It's light. It's the way we deal with light. It's the way we walk in light. It's how we relate to light. It's not just listening to it. It's not just being identified around it. But it's what light does to us and what we do with that light. Why would it be so hard on Capernaum? Because here Jesus done miracle after miracle, sign after sign. Wonder why the judgment hangs over this nation. Look at the West Coast where she's hanging. Look at the entirety of it. Oh God, it'll come to pass that a man that's really got some principles and morals, he won't be able to run on them because he won't get voted in. So he'll have to compromise in order to even get an election. Then you've got a hypocrite. There's no way out, friends. It's done. It's finished. Oh, Rock of Ages, clear for us, Lord God. And don't you understand, out of this nation, God sent a ministry, the greatest ministry that ever hit the earth since the Lord Jesus himself. Out of this nation, oh my. And when he is standing out there on the West Coast in 1956 and says, I predict this year that God, that America will either accept God or she'll turn him down. And he said, I predict she'll turn him down. Did she? Sure she did. And she's doing nothing but getting worse and worse and worse. And it's not just the leaders. It's the nation itself. Getting ripe for judgment. Now watch in verse 40. Jesus says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now here again, Jesus is showing us at the judgment. The people will stand there. Can you imagine that Nineveh, Gentiles, they were so heathen, they didn't know right from left hand. They were so heathen in the way they worshiped and what they done. And remember, God sent Jonah down the Nile. He had one of the greatest campaigns in the Bible. And now he got mad because God saved all of them. Most preachers go home with a burden if nobody comes to the altar. Everybody come to the altar in Jonah's meeting, and he got so mad he couldn't stand it. God, I knew you would do it. I knew you was a merciful God. I knew you would do this. Now he wants God to kill him because he had such a great success. Oh my. And yet Jesus uses them and he tells them, the people of Nineveh will stand in this generation. Now remember, this is when Jesus himself is preaching. The entire generation would be judged by the people of Nineveh. Not Peter, James, and John, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, but the people of Nineveh. Why them, Brother Donnie? I have no idea. Other than, it was in there that the sign of the resurrection was given. Because remember, that prophet was swallowed down in that fish's belly. And their fish God spit him out on the bank. And here come the resurrection and the life walking in to preach a campaign. And the dead were raised. Hallelujah. And here's Jesus, the antitype of that resurrection. Notice how he likes it. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man. And he said, look, they saw the resurrection in a type. You were actually seeing it in me in the antitype. They received it in type and were converted, changed, as it were, in the type of the Old Testament. Notice, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So their judgment will be based upon what? Jew to Gentile? Light to light. The Queen of the South shall rise in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. May I say it tonight, a greater than Solomon is still here. Not was here, he's still here tonight. Amen. You believe that? Now notice then, these people that stand in the judgment, they will be judged according to their seeing of light, perception of light, reaction to light. Now there will be some that will come up into the judgment that will be tried, and the works will actually be destroyed, but they themselves shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Watch this in Luke 12:47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now notice the difference in the application. More stripes and few stripes is based upon knowing the master's will. So it's being illuminated to a portion of word. So people who know, can you imagine, friends, the folks who've sat around as I said this message, and they know what's right, they know it, even if it's from a mental standpoint, and they know this is wrong, and that is wrong, and that is wrong, and yet they go ahead and do it anyhow. Can you imagine when they stand there, and they can quote what the prophet said, they can quote what the Bible said, but they chose not to do it. Every bit of that light that they have been exposed to will witness against them. Look at the degrees that will be. Some will be beaten with many stripes, and some with few. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, watch. Let's go back here to verse 13 again. Now, John, as he moves further into the vision... Now this is the general resurrection preparing for the white throne judgment. And watch what happens in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those that have drowned in crossing the Atlantic. Those who have come across the Pacific. Those in naval battles. Those in the days of Noah. Those that have went on cruises and leisure trips and had a crash or whatever more and they were lost. The sea itself will hold millions of remains. Now even though much of it has been eaten by fish or deteriorated and gone back, but yet there was their last identity of a human body. So therefore the voice of God will speak to the sea and speak to the dust. Some to the water, some to the dust. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books was open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Then he says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now notice the sea will empty out. You imagine the creative voice of Jesus himself, the judge. He is now calling them to appear before his throne. His voice will give them a temporary resurrection. You say, how's that possible? Well, he done it to Lazarus, didn't he? He done it to the widow of Nain, her son. He raised him up and he died again. Lazarus died and raised up and died again. The little girl lived and died and raised up and died again. These people will speak to them and give them a temporary resurrection. Oh my. Notice the dominion of death as death is personalized. As if though death itself was a prison house that held those that go into it, and it's separated into these various realms. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Death and hell. Now here it's represented in a twofold manner as having full dominion over the dead. Death and hell. Sheol and Hades, or the grave. It has been a temporary holding place by which the dead have remained. At death, life leaves the body. The body will go either into the earth, which will hold it, or if it goes by the sea, to hold it. The life, the identity of this person goes into another realm, a holding place. So the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them, their dominion. Notice this, gave up the dead which were in them, death and hell. Hades, the place of the separated souls. Now, here are the regions of the lost and the regions of the foolish virgin, which are not quite in the same realm. But all of it will now be emptied out at the command of Jesus. This has been a temporary holding place, temporarily called death. But now it shall be released, and they come before the tribunal of God. Watch this in Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king, this is not the rapture now, this is after the rapture, after the millennium. He has done been crowned king. Amen. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came with me. Notice, works, 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 works. Then shall the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Now these people, most of them did not live in the time frame of his earthly visit. They're not brides, so they don't have the revelation of being kind to his brethren as being kind to him. So he tells them this, and they answer back from the illumination that they have. Lord Jesus, lived in the Laodicea age. I never saw you. I lived in Luther's day. I lived in West Side. I never saw you. Now watch Jesus unfold his identity with his bride. As they are also standing there with him at his throne. And the king, when he speaks, everybody else hushes up. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, well, where are they at? Where are they in this whole scene? They're with him. Oh, glory to God. Can you imagine whenever he turns and he says, and the king answered and said unto them, if whenever you've done this to the least of these, and he may hold his hands out like this behind him and turn this way and that way, my brothers, when you've done this to my brothers, you've done it to me, because we were one flesh. When you persecuted them, you persecuted me. When you helped them, you helped me. When you loved them, you loved me. When you reached out your hand to them, you reached it out to me.
Amen.
Then shall he also say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For as I was hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Can you imagine the emperors, the courts, the presidents, the magistrates, the rulers that have lived down through time, and they've passed laws and regulations to persecute God's bride?
Yes, sir.
They'll stand there that day.
Yes,
and you remember, I tell you tonight, every president, every legislative body, not only from this point on, but from behind us, every one of them that has stood against God's elect,
yes,
they will stand there that day, and they will give an account. And let me say this to you, it's not only the president and the Supreme Court and the Congress and all that, but if you stand there that day and you miss the rapture and you're not the bride, and you stand there that day, everything you've done against God's people, that very thing will condemn you. And it will be as if though you have done it to Jesus himself, because he and his bride are so one. When you run me down, Jesus takes it as if though you were doing it to him. When you talk against his little member, whether it's a preacher or just a little simple lay member, or if you could reach out to one of them. Let me tell you something, friend. I want to be good to everybody. I don't want to be mean to nobody myself. I certainly don't want to be bad to the bride. Can you imagine people around this message who persecute the bride? How can elect persecute elect? Look, Jesus doesn't mention their hair, their mini dresses, their drinking, their lying. But they will be turned away from the entrance into eternal life because of their treatment to his brothers. I would advise our president to tread softly. I would advise our Senate, our Congress. I would advise my neighbors to treat me like a prince. Because I am.
I would advise the folks that live next door to you to be nice to you. I would advise those, Brother Darrell, that you cross at a traffic light to be nice to you. You better not have no road rage against the bride. Come on. You understand how serious this is? You understand what a serious thing, how personally Jesus takes this? Now look at their end. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Ah, two different words, huh? Everlasting punishment and life eternal. Oh, glory. But now remember, if you're a bride, neither one of these ain't you, no how. You're the standard he uses to judge them by. I know it's almost more than we can comprehend, but friend, this is his words, not mine. They're not up for debate. Now watch this in the Sardesian church age. To further clarify, notice specifically the words of Matthew 25, 31-46. This is what I just read you. It does not say that a shepherd is literally separating sheep from goats, but is as a shepherd dividing sheep from goats. These are not sheep in this particular area of time, white throne judgment. The sheep are in his fold. They heard his voice, word, and they followed him. They already have eternal life and cannot come into the judgment. But these do not have eternal life, and they are in the judgment. They are allowed to go into, oh God, they are allowed to go into eternal life. But upon what grounds do they enter life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have his life, as does the bride, but they receive it because they were kind to his brethren. Do you believe this? What kind of a value does he place on your relationship with him? It makes me feel so sorry for the poor people that look at us and ridicule and laugh and make fun of us. You know, anytime anybody does me that way, I try to just get away from them to minimize the damage. Do you understand? Because I know who I am. And I know if they don't change, I know what that's going to do to them. So I try to minimize the damage and just get away from them. People around the message that want to raise a big ruckus and a big fuss and this and that and the other, debate and argue with you. You could do that. You could lead them on more, but what good would it do? Myself, I want to just distance myself from them. It might not go as bad against them. Do you understand your position, friends? I don't mind telling you. I hope there's a bunch of folks that kind of want to hang around me in eternity. Not because they're my brothers, but because I allowed them to be good to me. Can you imagine as they would stand there and look at you and eyeball to eyeball and knowing that you allowed them to be good to you? And Jesus turns around and says, didn't you help Donnie? You didn't understand him. And you thought he was really different. But you always had something there, respect for him. Wasn't you good to him? Oh, may it be that I can say, my Lord, they were. Enough said. Enter in. Think about it. These do not have eternal life. They are in the judgment, but they are allowed to go into. Notice now, they're entering into something that they are not. Entering into something they don't have. But they're entering into eternal life. But upon what grounds do they enter into life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have his life, as does the bride. But they receive it because they were kind to his brethren. They are not his brethren. That would make them joint heirs with Jesus. They are not heirs to anything but life. Now, can you imagine? This is God's love from the cross being extended beyond the Lamb's book of life over into the book of life. Of people who did not have their names removed. Now remember, they were never illuminated to a lot of light. They never saw a lot of light. They just hung around the church and they heard all these things and they saw it, but they never went on. Oh no, that's not these kind of people. They were not illuminated to a lot of light. They never saw a lot of light. Oh my. They receive it because they were kind to his brethren. They're not his brethren. That would make them joint heirs of Jesus. They're not heirs to anything but life. Lord have mercy. What a thing to get. You won't be with him in the throne. You won't get no great reward if you've done this or that. But can you imagine his voice saying, come in. Enter into eternal life. And you imagine when they pass that throne and he miraculously gives them a body which will be fitting to the place they now enter. You don't think they want to hang around you for eternity? Glory to God. Now listen to the mystery of this. They're not heirs to anything but life. They share no throne with him. Their names must have been in the book of life. And not removed. So how much ever it was they saw of God and how much ever they knew about God, there was not enough illumination on them to remove their name from the book. So they walked in what little bit they knew and they helped the people of God in the time of trouble and done whatever more they could, but they didn't come up to a lot of light and refused to walk in it because that would have been the removal of their name. So their name is echoed. You imagine when they stand there. Oh God. Oh God. What have I done? Here I am. What can I offer? What can I say? And Jesus says, you imagine as he looks at them, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. You imagine the look as it comes over their face and they hold their peace. And he says, I was a stranger one time. I lost my home. Had a foreclosure. You opened up your home and took me in. Give me a week or two of shelter till I could get up on my feet. And they're standing there with that puzzled look on their face. And I was thirsty and on and on and on. And they're so perplexed. They say, Lord Jesus, I don't remember ever doing this to you. Maybe you. Will my witness step forward? And you press your way out in so much as you did it to the least of these, my brothers. You done it to me. You give one of my brothers a place to stay for a month, a week. Now, I'm going to give you a place to stay for eternity.
she was kind to one of my brothers. How could that be fair? How could he equate? How could he equate such a thing? You see, the value of this equation lays in his eyes of how he views his brothers. How could you take somebody being kind to the people of God and grant them eternal life? It's because the way the judge looks at his brothers. Now, because of their love of the people of God, they are recognized and saved. Because of their love of the people of God, they are recognized and saved. No doubt they served and helped the children of God, perhaps like Nicodemus and Gamaliel. They stood for the children in a time of trouble. So Nicodemus stands up just a couple instances in the New Testament. Gamaliel stands up a couple of times in the New Testament. Gamaliel never received the Holy Ghost. He was never converted. But Gamaliel will be there. Oh, Nicodemus was the first one to hear about the new birth. He never got it. But I just kind of believe he'll be there. He never had a lot of illumination, never said a lot of light. But apparently his name will not be removed from the book of life. And you imagine when Nicodemus walks before the very judge who talked to him about the new birth. Brother Donnie may be terrified. He may shake and tremble in his shoes. And then Jesus would look at him and said, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was hungry and you took me in your hand. You Nicodemus, Jesus, I never... But you stood up for my brothers. Come on, Nicodemus. Oh, oh God. Let's pray. Help us, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray, I trust, I hope there won't be a one sitting here tonight that'll have to come through the judgment that day. I pray, Lord, that everyone here will be able to be reckoned as the sheep, the brothers. Lord God, may we live lives that are worthy of this great gospel. May we present ourselves, Lord, in such a way, make ourselves to where the light of the word can live through us. May we present ourselves, Father. We search not for the favor of men. We do not ask, dear God, to be liked by the world. We know they will hate us. But may we present ourselves in such a way that though people would find what we believe strange and different, but yet, Lord, may there be some that would be able to enter that day because we lived a life that caught their attention. There was nothing there in their soul to respond to the same thing we had.
But they honored what we had and was willing to take up for us. Maybe they took up for us on a job or took up for us here or there or there. Spared us some anguish of heart or trouble. Oh Lord, what a terrible thing it'll be at that day for those who will stand there. I think, oh Lord, of the people in the message who tried to run people down. I think of people who's left the message and trying to make it hard on people. What it'll be for them that day, Lord God. I think of the preachers and the people who's tried to make it hell on earth for them. I think of people in churches who's tried to make life miserable for a pastor. Lord, knowing if they don't repent and make that thing right, they'll stand there before you that day and have to answer for all the sleepless nights, all the troubles. Oh, Jesus, forgive us, Lord. If there's any of your children, Lord, I've ever hurt. There's any of you children, you people, I've ever sinned against, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God. I don't want to sin against you. I don't want to sin against your brothers. I want to help your brothers, Lord. This is part of my call in life, to help your people. I never want to be a hindrance to them. The word hurts, and I have to say things sometimes. It's cutting and hard, but that's not me. That's the word that does it. But Lord, help me that I'll never hurt them. Help me that I'll never put a stumbling block in front of them. Oh God, when Nero will have to stand there that day. Lord, when many of the emperors and kings and rulers, Lord, those that have stood against your people, they'll stand there that day. Their rank will mean nothing. Their position on the earth will get them nowhere. As the great judge looks at them, his eyes of brass, merciful God, help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. When we stand there that day, Lord God, may we be identified in your throne, not before your throne. For every person present here tonight and those that are listening, every one of us will be somewhere and take our place in association with that throne, according to our relation to light. If we walked in the light as he was in the light and we had fellowship, we will be in the throne. If we took the light and lived a little bit of it, we'll be on the other side. If we despise the light, we'll be on the other side with our name removed from the book of life. So all of us will stand there one way or another in our relation to light. Help us, Lord Jesus. We have heard so much. Help us that we will live a life that will match what we have heard. Lest what we have heard speaks against us at that day. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together if you would. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you appreciate his mercy to you for him? His grace. Think of all the evidence that was written against you. You did it. There's no question about it. You were at the scene. Your fingerprints, as it were all over the evidence. You were as guilty could be. Jesus reached down on his side, Brother Darrell, took his finger, wrote out of his side, and wrote pardoned on your old book, your old sinner book of life. Threw it in the sea of his forgetfulness. It can never be remembered against you anymore. And you become so transformed and so completely perfect in him that he will actually use the new book of your life as a witness for or against people at that day. And if they have treated this living epistle of the word with respect and honor, they will actually be allowed to enter into the pages and fellowship with the pages of this living word in eternity. Because They looked at you and honored and respected, even though they couldn't understand, they couldn't grasp, they couldn't comprehend. But yet they honored you, respected you. Present yourself. Live in such a way. Give somebody the opportunity to be saved. Live such a life that you will awe them. Live such a life that they will be awed by the life you live. Live such a godly life, so holy, that that will so permeate you that it will come out and it will so move on them. It may never draw them to the same life, but it may allow them to walk into life. And it'll be all because of you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. And there's no stars in the sky. A little sparrow can fly. If that isn't love,
let's sing it.
All the
is dry. life is that is enough.
Merciful God,
the heaven to me, and there's no feeling quite like this. If that is love, oh, when they stand there in the judgment, same verse, not having received eternal life, and the record will show they were kind to Jesus, loving and caring wife, if that is in rear, in rear. When you've done this to the least of these, my brothers, come on in to eternal life. There's no stars in the sky, oh Lord God. The little sparrow can fly. If that is unloved, then all the heavens are his, and there's no feeling quite like this. That is love. I was one day a hunger. I was thirsty and poor, and you took me in. They'll say, Lord, I just can't remember. He'll say, when you did it to my bride, you did it to me. Now I'll let you in. If that isn't love, tell me what is it? If that isn't a merciful God, what is it? Lord God, oh, there's no stars in the sky. Oh, the little sparrow can fly. If that is a love, then all the heavens, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. I worship you tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. Hey, sing for us. Walk with me, for you are worthy. Can't you see, friends, why the Lord Jesus
demands such a life of us. People won't go in by knowing the foolish virgin. People won't be granted eternal life just by people who listen to tapes. People who come to Happy Valley. You've got to be accredited to being part of the family. Walk with Him. You're worthy. Don't misunderstand me, but as Esther was their salvation, as Ruth was the salvation, so will you be the salvation. Not that you could save them within yourself. It's His life so living in you, and He loves you and He values you so much. David had been dead for many, many years, and God is still remembering him in the Old Testament. And He'd say, for David's sake, I will do thus and so. For David's sake, I'll do this. For David's sake, I'll do that. And David wasn't even a man that was like him in the spiritual image. What will he do for you? It means so much to him. I've given you the simple illustration before. That if I were to be gone, I'm going hunting for a few days this week with a couple of the brothers. And if Carol goes out and has a flat tire, she don't know where the tire's at in the car. She wouldn't know where the jack was at. She wouldn't know how to change it if she knew where it was at. But there was some guy come along and he smelled of cigarettes or alcohol or whatever and stunk and maybe wasn't driving the very best of vehicles. But he treated her like a lady and said, ma'am, can I change your tire? And he would change that tire and get her back on the road again. I'll tell you one thing, I'd want his phone number. I'd want to call him. I'd want to express my appreciation. Because he came along in the time of need to my little queen and help her get back on the road again. Can you imagine, Jesus, how he'll feel toward those who's been good to his bride? And he'll want to reward them. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then if you ill treat her and you're mean to her, he'll want to get you for that too. So just be good to all people, friends. Don't be mean to nobody. Don't hate nobody. Don't do ill to nobody. Just be like Jesus. Love and forgive all and let God do the sorting. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. Don't you appreciate His kindness? I know this is sober. I know it's, you know, I know it is, but if we can just make it a few more verses, we'll move over to the new city. But I think there's some wonderful things in it for us as well, don't you? God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you. Brother Dale Smith will be here this weekend, and I'll be gone, Brother Darrell and Brother Daniel Ball, for a few days of hunting. And pray for me. We'll go home and have a safe hunt. And remember, whenever I go, I'm not just going to hunting. It's a hunt-study combo. So you don't believe that, you ask Brother Darrell and ask Brother Daniel and these brothers I go with and ask them what I'm doing most of the time when I'm not hunting. Sometimes even when I am hunting, I take my laptop to the stand. No wonder I don't kill no deer, huh? Me and my deer have a wonderful time. Amen. Hey, I love you. Let's sing it as we go. Walk with me. A life worthy of the gospel.
For you are worthy.
Walk with me, bride. Live a life worthy.
Walk with me.
Walk with me.
For you are worthy.
Before the world began.
Began.
Praise the Lord. Amen.